This is Oasis City Radio Music. This is Oasis City Radio Music. Sun goes up, sun comes down, this whole world keeps spinning around. This is Oasis City Radio Music. Four hours a day at OasisCityRadio.com. Tune in, iHeartRadio, and the Oasis City Radio app. This is Oasis City Radio Music. Oasis City Radio. This is Revive All with Oasis City Church Columbus, featuring pastors Bill Themilaris and Adam Stewart.
I'm Pastor Lynn Themilaris from Oasis City Church. We use the term revive all. And what we mean when we say this term is everyone fully alive. And that includes you. I'm so glad you're listening today. Now here's a life-changing message from my husband, Bill Themilaris.
Have you been enjoying this worship in the round? That's kind of cool, isn't it? I've done that before, you know, in worship as a worship leader years and years and years ago. It was so much fun, but never preached in the round before or preached in the round with my lovely wife before either. So pray for us as we're going to get through this graciously, but so good to be in the house of the Lord. So good. Those of you watching online, God bless you. Stick with us. We have a whole lot that God is doing here. Let us know how we can pray for you, how we can bless you as well. There's an online connection card that you can connect with us on, but we have something to talk about today, and we're going to teach on the Sabbath.
Yes.
We are teaching on the Sabbath, so the title of today's message is this: a day off? Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you.
He's talking to you.
Look at your other neighbor and say, do you have a day off?
Do you have a day off? I see some really big eyes. Like,
big eyes. Like, where's he going to go with this whole thing? Well, the subject of the Sabbath has been a topic of conversation in the body of Christ for the last 2,000 years, and there's been debates and theological studies on, do we honor the Sabbath, do we not? Are we required as born-again Christians in the New Covenant to honor the Sabbath? What day is the Sabbath? What is the difference between the Lord's Day and the Sabbath? All these different things. And how many of you realize we can really complicate something that God makes really simple?
That's right.
And so we overthink things and analyze things. And, you know, is the Sabbath on the seventh day? Because that's what the Bible says. So that's Saturday. So is that the holy day? Are we supposed to worship on Saturday? And as you know, Christians typically, for the last 2,000 years, we worship on Sunday mornings. But our worship is not, worship is just a part of Sabbath. As a matter of fact, in the definition of Sabbath, the word worship isn't really the component of it. I mean, it is a part, but it's not the definition. It's not just the day that you worship. And so as Christians, we worship on Sunday because Jesus resurrected on the first day of the week. So it's not an argument or something. It's just the idea that this is how we've done it because we celebrate on the first day, which is actually the eighth day. Because the seventh is completion in the Sabbath. And then if you look at the next day would be number eight, which is the number of new beginnings. And that's why it starts over at one again. And so that's what the Sabbath is for us. And realize this, that it is not, although it was part of the law, it actually supersedes the law. Kind of like tithing. Tithing is first mentioned in the scripture before the law is given. Sabbath is first mentioned in scripture twice before the law is given. So for us today, it's not law, it's principle. And it, for us today, it's us recognizing, why is this important to the Lord? And how do I need to apply this principle in my life? And that's what we want to talk to you about that today. Colossians chapter 2 says this: therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Here's the concept for us as born again, New Testament, New Covenant believers. The first one is this: Jesus is our Sabbath. He is our rest. He came and he fulfilled the entire law. He didn't do away with it in the sense of just abolishing it. He's the total fulfillment of it. And therefore, everything that is in that is found in Christ. So he is our go-to. He's the one. And as a born-again believer, we find our Sabbath in him. But we also live out what he has for our lives. So the Bible is clear. We are not to judge one another on how, I'm not to judge you on how you live your life. You're not to judge me on how I live my life. In other words, what day is my Sabbath? We were arguing about that in the New Testament, and they were arguing about this in the early church. What day? Well, it's no longer a day that is just on a calendar that we all have to follow. It's a principle that we all have to follow. So therefore, I don't judge you on how you do it. You don't judge me, just like we're not judging the festivals and if we do this or that, or if you adhere to a certain diet for religious purposes or not. We don't judge one another, but it doesn't do away with what God put in place, and that is the Sabbath day. So there's four components of Sabbath that we're going to talk about today. The first one is stop, then rest, delight, and then contemplate. Or another word to say that is worship. Really worshiping God, contemplating on his goodness. So the very first one we're going to talk about is the word stop. Say stop.
Stop.
Lynn's really good at telling me that word. So often
daily.
I cross the boundary and she's like, stop, Bill, just take a breather, take a minute. Would you just stop? Have you ever heard the phrase, work yourself to death? Yeah, work yourself to death. Well, in studying this, within the last 20 years, there are three nations that determined that they needed to add a word to their language, their dictionary, that defined working yourself to death because it was happening more and more and more often. So in Japan and in China and in Korea, they have a word that means working yourself to death. That's a problem when that needs to be defined in your dictionary. And they commonly came to this definition, namely people, they were dropping dead on their jobs from working intense hours under intense pressure with little to no rest. I said, working intense hours under intense pressure with little to no rest. And that is why we need to stop. Now, does God have a solution for this kind of problem in our modern society? Yes. And he's had this solution all along. Didn't take him by surprise. He didn't have to think, oh my God, they're working themselves to death. What am I going to do now? He already had a provision for us. And that provision is Sabbath. Let's take a look at the word Sabbath and it from the scripture. Now, this scripture in Exodus chapter 16 is before the law is given. It's technically the first time the word is mentioned, although Genesis 2 shows us what the Sabbath is on the day that the Lord rested. But take a look at this in this entire passage. He told them, so this is Moses speaking, he told them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow will be a day of complete rest, a holy Sabbath day set apart for the Lord. So bake or boil as much as you want today and set it aside for what is left for tomorrow. So they put some aside until morning, just as Moses commanded. And in the morning, the leftover food was wholesome and good without maggots or odor. Remember, manna was only good that day. And if you tried to store it and hoard it, it would spoil on you. So the miracle took place immediately. And Moses said, eat this food today, for today is a Sabbath day dedicated to the Lord. There will be no food on the ground today. You may gather the food for 6 days, but on the seventh day is Sabbath. There will be, he says it again, there will be no food on the ground that day. So God says it twice, but take a look at what happened in verse 27. So some of the people went out anyway on the seventh day, but they found no food. I think that still applies today. God says something, he even repeats himself, and we go out anyway just to see if he's really telling the truth. Is God really serious about this no food that day? Yeah, he is. Some people went out. The Lord asked Moses, how long will these people refuse to obey my commands and instructions? They must realize that the Sabbath is the Lord's gift to you. That is why he gives you a two-day supply on the sixth day. So there will be enough for 2 days. On the Sabbath day, you must each stay in your place. Do not go out to pick up food on the seventh day. For the third time. So the people did not gather any food on the seventh day. So verse 29, it explains it really plainly. The Sabbath is a gift to us. And here's the other principle that God has in place. And it's tough love. It's tough language. In other words, it's this. If you work that day that I've told you to rest, I'm not going to bless you. He says, you choose to do this on your own. If you go out, I'm telling you, don't do it. There's not going to be anything there anyway. I'm providing for you. But if you try to manipulate my system and my command and my principle, I can't bless it. You can try to work yourself to death 7 days a week, but I'm not going to bless that. So we all need to stop.
Yeah. And when we talk about stopping, I think it's pretty simple for most of us to get that, because when you went for your first job interview, one of our first questions, what's my day off? Mm-hmm. We don't want to go to work really on our day off. But what stopping, there's a more to that than just stopping your work. Mm. We have to stop anything that brings us unrest. We have to mentally stop. And how often do we work our 6 days, but we take work home and we're doing that at home? We're not resting if we're still working on that day. And so we have to begin to realize that we need to do a soul check all week. When I watch this TV show, how do I feel? When I'm on my social media, how do I feel?
Good.
When I'm in conversation with this person, how do I feel? If it gives you unrest, if it causes you to compare and feel like you need to compete, feel like you need to perform, that's also something you need to stop doing on your Sabbath day. We all work jobs where we have to deal with people, talk to people. We all have family members that we have to talk to, but we can choose when we have those conversations. We can choose when we're on our social media. We have to learn to stop mentally is just as important as stopping physically.
Yeah, that's so good. So stop is one of God's top 10. The Sabbath is in the top 10 list of things important on God's mind. And if you know the Ten Commandments, you will realize that when he describes the Sabbath, it's the longest section of description of the Ten Commandments, way longer than the other nine. It's the longest point. I believe that he makes it long intentionally because he knew as people we would try to skirt around that one. It's not just do honor the Sabbath like do not steal. No, I want you to honor the Sabbath, keep it holy, and let me tell you why. So let's take a look at what the law does say in Exodus chapter 20 in verse 8. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Now, reminder that this is the law being given, but he describes the Sabbath earlier in a few other chapters, and part of these top 10 list is saying, we are going to remember this. Remember what I told you. Mm-hmm. Remember, keep it holy. You have 6 days each week for you to do ordinary work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath day of what?
Rest.
Everybody say rest.
Rest.
Dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. And in case you're not sure what I'm talking about, he says, this includes you. Your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. I'll pause right there. That's why most people think, oh, the Sabbath was just for the Jews, but this implies the Gentiles as well. The foreigners were Gentiles, not Jews. And the Sabbath applied to the Gentiles from the Jewish perspective. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them, but on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord, watch this, blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Woo! That's a long description of a commandment. And he's intentionally doing that so we understand it. And here's the thing. I have to make a confession that Bill Thamelaris is still working on this. I'm not an expert at this, and I have not been practicing this in my all of my Christian life. And I am reminded, even in studying for this sermon, and Lynn and I have been talking about this for several weeks, I'm reminded of how I have fallen short of this or not made it the priority that God has made it, because it's on the same list that says don't lie, don't steal, don't worship idols, don't commit adultery. And of the other nine, I am betting on the fact that you would never intentionally violate that. You would never say, today I'm going to go commit adultery. Today I'm going to go lie. Anytime somebody asks me a question, I'm going to go lie. Today I'm going to go steal. I just want all that for myself. I'm going to see what I can get away with. No, you're not going to do that. So why would we try to skirt around the Sabbath? Why would we try to act like it doesn't apply to us? Yeah. That it's just for then, and stealing and lying and Sabbathing, well, you know, that was just for then. No, it applies to us today.
I mean, think about it. It's on God's top 10 list, like he said. And we tend to categorize and put things in, you know, what's most important. So if you do a countdown, 10 is like the least, right? And right. You're counting down to number one. Sabbath was number four. On God's list, it was higher than don't lie, don't steal, don't commit adultery. And you know, I really believe part of that is because if we learn to really keep Sabbath and learn to rest, most of us, when we fall into the trap of doing something that breaks those other commandments, it's because we're stressed. So we say something that I shouldn't have said that, but you know what? Got me out of trouble, right? So what if keeping Sabbath was so important because it's what helped us keep the other nine?
Whoa. That's so important. And, you know, there's consequences for not obeying. Now, you can go down the list and say, if I'm caught stealing, you know the consequence. You'll be forgiven by the Lord, but you go to jail, you pay a fine or whatnot. There's still consequences even on the Sabbath. And it's not like you're going to be struck by lightning. But the consequence is really, and you'll see this in just a few moments, that the Lord made the Sabbath for you and for me. The consequence is our life now is filled with those things Lynn just mentioned. Anxiety, depression, frustration, performance, trying to please man, the fear of man, what are they going to think about me? All of those things, and it does shorten your life. Your blood pressure goes through the roof, and then you have problems. You need to be on medicine. You know, all these kinds of things. It does, the consequence of not keeping the Sabbath, stopping. And now we're going to talk about resting.
Rest. You know, I remember when I was in my prayer time with the Lord, and I was boo-hooing about how overstressed I was, overwhelmed, stuff just wasn't working out. It felt like I was doing all this stuff, and it was just like, oh, such a stressor. And so I'm going to the Lord for comfort. And he said, well, when are you going to take a Sabbath and rest? And I literally said this to the Lord as if he doesn't know more than I do. God, I don't have time to rest. I mean, people are waiting for me, and I need to get this done. And I don't know if you remember the movie, The Prince of Egypt. And there's the scene where Moses is kind of fighting with God about going back to Egypt. And the voice of God gets really big, like puts Moses in his place. It felt just like that. And the Lord said to me, if I, the creator of the universe, chose to rest on the seventh day, who do you think you are that you don't need one? Woo. I said, yes, Lord, I'm going to look at my calendar and I'm going to start putting some Sabbath in there because clearly I'm breaking one of the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
We need rest. We need to understand why we need rest. But one of the amazing things about us resting is the Bible says when we rest on the seventh day, it's a witness to the world.
Yeah.
It's a witness. Listen to what it says in Exodus 31, 14 through 17. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you.
Yeah.
It's not holy for him. It's holy for us. Everyone who has profaned it shall be put to death. Ugh. Whoever does any work on it, the soul shall be cut off from among this people. 6 days you shall work. Work shall be done. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Says it again. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. The Jews were able to accomplish more in 6 days than the Gentiles could do in seven.
Right.
Because they had made a covenant with the Lord that they would take that day, honor it for the Lord, and rest. And look what happened. They were prosperous. Now, Sabbath means to cease from your labor. But the major sign is that when we rest, we're showing that we trust God to handle our business.
That's right.
And we have a modern day example of that. I don't know how many times on a Sunday my kids will say, let's go to Chick-fil-A.
Uh-huh.
Great idea. I start getting ready for my Chick-fil-A. We start heading there. And then one of us will go, wait a minute, Sunday, they're not open. But did you know that Chick-fil-A being closed one day a week is one of the most profitable fast food chains in the world?
Yes. Yeah.
Taking a day off, more profitable. We even have an example of that right here in our church where a couple started a business. And there's some businesses that are just naturally closed on the weekend. Like, you know, if I call my dentist on Saturday, she don't pick up. They're closed. But, you know, salons and those types of businesses, Saturdays and Sundays are like their best day.
Yeah.
So the Austins opened a lash lounge, and they chose to have it closed on Sunday. Now, we asked them the other day because I was going to talk about that, and then I thought, we better ask them and make sure they still don't do Sundays. And this is what she said. You know, our business is going so well, and we're told all the time by Decalash execs and whatnot that they need to open up another day to cover all these people. And she told them, I would rather open another location with all of the stress that it causes than have our shop open on a Sunday.
Yeah. And God blesses
them. And God is blessing them.
That's why it's a sign. It's kind of like the modern day version would be like this for a Jew and talking to a Gentile. It's like the Gentile sends an email. Hey, we'd like to place an order, a delivery with your company on Saturday. And then the Jew replies, sorry, we're not open on Saturday. And then the text message comes back in. What do you mean you're not open on Saturday? It's like the busiest day of retail of the week. He says, well, we're not open because we don't need to be open on Saturday to be able to make it. How can you not be open on Saturday? How are you giving up one day entirely of sales? How are you doing that? Well, because God blesses us. Well, what do you mean? What God blesses you? Well, our God, Yahweh, blesses us. Well, how does he bless you? Well, he gives us enough and profit in 6 days that we can be afforded to actually rest and not work on the seventh day, and we still make more money than y'all do working yourself to death. That's why for thousands of years, I'm not talking, it wasn't this way for 10 years. It's been thousands of years of history that the Sabbath is a witness. The Sabbath is a sign. And that's why in Exodus here, in this passage that Lynn just read, he says, this is a sign. And he says this, it's a covenant forever. Does that apply to this year? It's a covenant that God has with his people forever.
Wow.
It's going to be there next year. It's going to be there long when you are gone and in heaven. The Sabbath principle and the covenant with the Lord is going to be there. And so this is why we apply it as a principle in our life today, because God wants us to rest and he wants us to be blessed. Now, here's the thing. Verse 17 is the one that really puzzled me when I began to research it and read it. Take a look at what verse 17 says. It says, it's a sign forever, so it's a witness forever, between me and the people of Israel, that in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. God rested. I can get that. But God was refreshed. How is the God that the scripture says never tires, never sleeps, never slumbers? How is he refreshed? And when I began to study this word refreshed, it's the same word for inhale, to breathe in. To inhale, the refreshing of the Lord. Why is this? Because for 6 days, he exhaled creation. For 6 days, he spoke each and every day. And on the seventh day, he was refreshed. He breathed in, he inhaled, and this kind of refreshing is available for us today. Of the 6 days of creation, all of creation, the Sabbath is the only one on day seven that has a name. Of the 7 days, it's the only one given a name. And it's significant the way that God refreshes himself. And therefore we need, have you ever said before, man, I just need to catch my breath. You're exhaling too long. You need to rest. You need to stop. You need to inhale the goodness of God and receive his refreshing. One of the things that I'm learning, and I've just started doing this recently, and so I'm trying to create a new habit in my life, and that is, like I said, in the New Testament, we can choose our Sabbath. I believe that we have the freedom in Christ to choose our Sabbath, so it's not necessarily just a religious day of sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday, just like, you know, the Jews had to keep it in this regard. So, for example, some Christians think their Sabbath is Sunday. Well, Sunday right now at this very minute is a work day for me, right? I'm preaching a message. I'm doing my vocation. So Sabbath doesn't mean in the new covenant you can't do anything. It's do things that make you happy. Do things that inhale, refresh you. It's not about, but don't work. Don't do your work. So for me, sometimes my Sabbath is on, I'm trying to rotate this in. Sometimes it's on Friday. It goes into Friday, Thursday to Friday. And sometimes it goes from Sunday into Monday. So I just, based on travel schedules and such, I just have to switch it sometimes. But what I'm learning to do is I'm learning to do nothing and to schedule nothing on my Sabbath. I said it, I'm learning to schedule nothing on my Sabbath. So if you call me and you say, hey, Bill, what are you doing on this date? And it's my Sabbath. I say nothing. Oh, great. So does that mean you can come and do this and meet with me? No. I have actually scheduled nothing. I put the word nothing in my calendar because I schedule nothing.
And then I circle it in bright colors to make sure he remembers.
Yes, because nothing. I have forgotten that I had scheduled nothing.
Y'all think I'm
and therefore
joking.
I start doing something that's work related, and then I'm frustrated, and then I realize I'm violating what God has put in place for me to bless me, because in my stupid thinking, I think that I am allowed to get away with that so that I can make somebody else happy. Isn't that like the hamster wheel? Isn't that just, that's a sucky way to live.
Can you say that in church?
So I encourage you, try scheduling nothing. Somebody came to me, just said, just after the first service, what do you think? I don't know if I could do a whole 24 hours in a row. Do you think I could do a half a day and a half a day? And I said, I think so. I mean, I'm not the expert on this, but I think God would bless you for trying to start something to do nothing. I think God will say, I can work with that. I can partner with that because we're not under this law, rigid law. It's about the heart. But it's when we violate it, when we don't believe God for his word. Amen. And we think we know better than ourselves.
Because Sabbath is there to bless us. It's there to bless us. And what I love is part of the element of Sabbath is delight. Delight is part of Sabbath. In Mark 2, 23 to 28 says, on Sabbath, he was going through grain fields.
Whoops.
And as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? And he said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry? And he was, and those who were with him? He entered the house of God, and in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man made for Sabbath. Jesus said, Sabbath was made for man, not man made for Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. God created Sabbath to bless us. To bless us. Yeah. And it's time for me to realize that it's not a law to make us unhappy, but it's a blessing for our lives.
Yeah, think about it this way. Eating was not unlawful on the Sabbath. It wasn't that you couldn't eat. It was that you couldn't work. And so here's the Pharisees trying to catch Jesus because his disciples are skipping through the fields and they're taking grain and plucking it with their thumb and eating the grain. And so the Pharisees said that part is work. So eating is lawful, but the plucking is unlawful. And Jesus is like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like you've taken this too far. You have made this, you're so focused on this religious principle that you're missing the point. My disciples were allowed to eat. And then he pulls up, don't you remember what David did? And he knew that they knew because they're Pharisees and they know the scripture. And so Jesus is saying, hey, the Sabbath was made for man, not the other way around. Not man for the Sabbath. I've made this for you. And by the way, I'm actually in charge of the Sabbath. He says, I am the Lord of Sabbath. And so it's made for serving us. It's a blessing, not a burden. And I think we look at it sometimes as a burden. I know I do. I'm like, darn it, 6 out of 7. I need more time. I looked at it as a burden. And I had to repent to the Lord and say, God, I know for me and my brain and the way I'm made and wired, to me, this looks like it's more hassle to try to do this. And God's like, you're missing the point. Why don't you just obey me and try it, and then you'll see. And when I began to obey the Lord, I'm like, wow, this is making a whole lot more sense.
And when I was studying Sabbath and the different traditions that started Sabbath, one of my favorite ones that I read was that Jewish families would sit down together, but they would start by giving every child a spoonful of honey to eat. Something sweet to eat. Because the idea was they wanted them to see Sabbath as a sweet time. Mm. It's so unfortunate that it became a burden. The whole intent was it to be sweet. For when they would think about Sabbath day, I get to have my favorite thing. On my Sabbath, I actually order the latte that I really want, you know? The one that has the real sugar in it. And the one that's more of a dessert than coffee.
Delight.
I get to delight, do something that I enjoy. And that's how they started Sabbath. You know, I grew up in a church when I was younger, and so many rules and regulations. I remember thinking as a child, you know, wow, if I smile, that might be a sin too. Like if it was fun, that was wrong. And you know, the scripture tells us all the time that we need to die to ourselves. And that's so true. But what we've done is we've died to the wrong things. You know, the scripture was meaning die to your selfish ambitions. Die to your agenda. Die to what you want. Die to the hatred and the judgments. Die to those things so you can live in the Spirit. It wasn't die to the gifts and the talents and the things that you enjoy. It was use those things that you enjoy to honor me with it on your Sabbath. Yeah. Picasso said that everyone's an artist until they turn five. Because when you were little, you would get out your crayons and your markers and your paint, and you would just go to town on that piece of paper, and you loved it. It was beautiful. You would be happy to show everyone. But all of a sudden, you enter kindergarten, and your horsey didn't look like her horsey. And you lost the light in those things, and we pulled back. We died to those things. I think the blessing of Sabbath is the Lord is saying, that's a day that you get to be childlike again.
Whoa.
Not childish. There is a difference. But childlike, where you find delight and joy in the things that the Lord has given you. When you are all excited when you see something new. That kind of expression and joy the Lord wants us to come back to.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, what do I do? Well, do something that you delight in and that you know that you feel God in. Like, if you're a golfer, go golf. If I went golfing, I would be working. And maybe cussing. So I'm not going to golf on Sabbath. When my do-nothing day, yeah. But if your do-nothing day is I want to golf with my friend because that, an iron sharpens iron relationship, and I got a great, you know, friend, and we go golf and we have the best time together, do it. Go golf and talk about the Lord and talk about what God is doing in your life. So find those things that you can delight in. And I get questions, and this one comes up a lot, and I've even thought about it myself. I've kind of wrestled with the Lord on it. What about emergencies? What do I do? You know, it's my Sabbath. An emergency came up and I need to work that day. What do I do? And Jesus, he answered that already. He said, if your ox falls into a ditch on the Sabbath, you would help him out and pick him up. He healed people on the Sabbath because they had a physical emergency and he's there. He healed on the Sabbath. So my challenge is this. If there's an emergency, go for it. God understands. But if your ox falls into a ditch every week, it's not an emergency. It just means you're a bad manager. It means you don't have systems and structures in place in your life that can prevent emergency after emergency after emergency. You can't come to church if Sunday's your Sabbath. You can't come to church. You just find other things that pop up on Saturday night that prevent you from coming to church on Sunday. Your emergency is your lack of organization in your life. And if you would just ask the Holy Spirit, how come this keeps happening? These emergencies, these cycles. He will give you the answer. He will help you, and he will help you make a plan. So God is in it. He heals on the Sabbath. He wants you to delight in the Sabbath, and he's there with you even in your emergencies on the Sabbath. So we have one more component of the Sabbath, and that's contemplating and worship.
Worship. And so when I was talking and studying this, you know, one of the things that I love about the whole idea and the contemplating the goodness of God in worship on Sabbath is that the Lord began to show me kind of a presentation of what Sabbath is supposed to look like. It doesn't just mean you're lazy and you stay home to do nothing, but it's about taking quality time with the Lord. Mm. Quality time. You know, if I want my relationship with Bill to be strong, I can't rely on a 5-minute conversation every morning as we're both running out the door to do what we need to do. I can't even rely on going out to dinner with my friends and family. Bill and I have to spend quality time together, just me and him. That's not pressured, that's not rushed, that's not hurried. It's just time for us to be together. So going to church on your Sabbath is important. It's great. That's spending time with your family. It's important. But that can't be the only piece of your Sabbath. You need to have a date with Jesus. Where when you open your Bible on your own, spending time with Him,
that's good.
That it doesn't matter if you get swept away for an hour or 3 hours reading your word or worshiping in your house.
That's good.
You're swept. You have time just to be in His presence, reconnecting, finding new ways to get closer to Jesus during that time.
Yeah.
I just thought of this one piece
because I actually did a little bit of research on this myself because I was asking the question like, well, can I store up my Sabbaths? I mean, mm-hmm. I know God has got this calendar thing. You know,
I've been working on this for years.
Bill's brain, you know. So it's like, okay, if it's one day a week, I get it. So it's stored up because in our American culture, we have these things called vacations. But vacation is not Sabbath. Now, it could be rest, and you could be doing something fun, but that's not the way God designed it because He needed a regular rotation. So rather than working 7 weeks straight thinking, I'll just take 7 days off, is not good practice.
You may die at your job in your office before you make it to that vacation.
That's very true. And so when I started looking at the people of Israel, because I didn't find the word vacation in the Old Testament. And so I began to say, well, God, I know that you know, I don't know if they had this practice or not. But then the Lord reminded me and I began to read and research that they would keep the Sabbath. So this is the calendar, the weekly calendar. But they would also, you know, Israel had 5 to 7, you know, depending on how you look at the scripture, 5 to 7 different festivals or feasts each year. And it didn't replace the Sabbath. So they did Sabbath, they observed Sabbath, and they also observed vacation. And so don't let your mind twist it in the sense of, oh, I can go, I can work all year and then somehow I'll just give God 52 days somewhere else. We have to recognize that God's part of that too. And man, when they did weddings, that was like a whole week, just a wedding festival. So they knew how to feast. And that's what I believe God is going to teach us. He's going to teach me more on how to feast on Him during Sabbath.
Now, I feel like I have to give them some practical tools to help them begin to bring Sabbath to your life.
Yes, please.
Okay? Because I feel like if you don't have the tools, you'll keep spinning around, how do I do this? And so I believe that we all need a Sabbath preparation list.
That's good.
You know, a Sabbath preparation list. First of all, you need to plan the day of the week that you're going to have Sabbath, like right now.
Yeah.
Don't wait till, right now, what day would be a good day for you to do Sabbath? Put it on your calendar. Mark it off. Number two, prepare beforehand to clear out that day's schedule. If you wait to Thursday that you've chosen to be your Sabbath to look at your schedule to clear it off, your ox will always be in a ditch.
Right.
Always. But plan ahead. Already plan. This is the day that I'm going to have my Sabbath. And this is the things that I've cleared off.
Yeah.
Because they don't restore my soul when I'm doing it. And you need to compile a do not do list, not a to-do list, a what not to do list.
Yeah.
Take some time. What are the things that bring you unrest? What are the things that you do typically that make you not feel as easy, that don't make you ponder and contemplate the goodness of the Lord when you're doing it? Like pulling the weeds out of my garden for me would not be a Sabbath day activity.
Right.
So that's not on my list. What are the things that need to come off your list? And then 4, you also need to plan your soul restorative activities.
Yeah.
Because if you don't plan for what you are going to do, the things that do give you rest, the things that do give you delight, once again, you'll start doing all the things that you shouldn't be doing. We have to plan ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Plan ahead.
Yeah, one of the things just this week that I did was I repented to the Lord for trying to do things in my own strength. Because when I don't honor the Sabbath, that's actually what I'm saying. Even though I don't want to admit it at times. And so I think this is a good opportunity for all of us to do that. To realize that the Sabbath is not a burden. It is a blessing. And I'd like to create an opportunity now for us to receive from the Lord. So would you just stand where you are? And just let's allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us. And I think that, well, what I know is that he is near to a broken spirit and a contrite heart. He doesn't deny it. And if you would join me in just a few moments of approaching the Lord with humility, even if you regularly do honor the Sabbath. But is it possible the Holy Spirit has something to say to us right now if we would just repent for either disobeying intentionally or for being unwittingly not embracing something that he said, I started in human history with this concept and it's going to be a covenant forever. So it's not going to stop. So Jesus, we recognize that you are our Sabbath. You are the fulfillment. You are our rest. You said, oh, are you tired? Are you weary? Come to me and find rest. Come to me and find Sabbath. So today, Lord, I repent for not coming to you for my rest. I repent for thinking that I have it figured out. I repent for thinking that my calendar organization is somehow better than yours. I repent for not putting you first. I repent for trying to skirt around the issue. I repent for not valuing your word. I repent for not trusting you. So, Lord, today, I choose to inhale. And be refreshed. Today, I choose to breathe in your presence. And be refreshed.
Thank you so much for listening. And I would love to personally invite you to join us for a Sunday morning service at Oasis City Church. We're a diverse church with something for everyone. So don't forget, 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. I hope to see you there.
If you'd like to find out more about the church that brought you this program, check out oasiscitychurch.com and look up our social media and live stream on YouTube. Oasis City Columbus is a diverse church that celebrates all cultures and backgrounds, no matter where you've been. Because that's the way the kingdom of heaven is. We invite you to join us Sundays at our main campus in Westerville, right off I-270 on East Wind Drive. And you can find all the details at the OasisCityChurch.com website. Thanks for listening today. Revive All is a presentation of Oasis City Church, Columbus.